Thank you very much, Bob. Good morning, everyone. It's well worth turning to the reading that Bob has just read for us. If you've got a red church Bible in front of you, it's page 1175. As we continue this series in looking at the church, looking at God's community, and we'll be thinking together about, as we see shown to us here in Ephesians 4, that God's community grows. So I'm going to pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word together. So please do pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, and in your love you have formed us into a body, your people, the church. We thank you for Christ, who is our head. We thank you for the word of truth about Christ that is able to build us up as your church. And so we pray now with your word open before us, that in your kindness you would continue this building work, this growing work for our good and for your glory. Amen. Hear these words from earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of things that you are thankful for about God's church here in Wurunga. I'm thankful for all sorts of things. Let me tell you some of the things I've written down just this week that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for our 8 a.m. congregation. I'm thankful for Gavin as well. I'm thankful for how you stick around afterwards and sit at tables encouraging each other. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Terence, who walks his dogs to church each Sunday, and they wait patiently for him out the front. Most of the time, patiently. I'm thankful for Jimmy and Andrea, who are part of 930 and have led youth and play church week by week for years. I'm thankful for two new guys who will be up on this at the front here at 10:30, who've stepped up to lead music because everyone else seems to be on holiday. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the 1145 Mandarin congregation and their enthusiasm to welcome new people. I'm thankful for the Mighty Youth Band at 6 p.m. If you come tonight, you'll see people from our youth group in the band. And I'm thankful for a lady who's in our current Christianity Explored course who is asking brilliant questions. I'm thankful for so much about our church. I wonder what you're thankful for. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, says, I cannot stop giving thanks. This is God's church that we're a part of. And as we've seen already in this series, we've been chosen to be in his family by his grace. We've been created for his purpose. We've been created as a church, as we saw last week, with the doors flung open to welcome others, as we ourselves have been welcomed in by God. And so today, as we look again at Ephesians, we're going to see that God has created a church that he intends to keep growing. It's not a static thing. It's not some sort of ornament on the mantelpiece. It's a house being built. It's a body that grows. That's what the church is. And we're going to look at that and consider how we might pray together and then pursue together this growth as a church here in Wurunga. We'll be praying for a church that is growing in diversity of nations and cultures. We'll be praying for a church that's growing in numbers of generations that are part of the church, yes. We'll be praying for a church that's growing in numbers, yes. But while we're committed to growing in these ways, we do so with a deeper growth project in mind. And that's where I want our hearts to focus today. I hope you've got Ephesians 4 open there in front of you, because we're going to see this deeper growth project there. When God says he is growing his church, he does mean growing it in nations and generations and numbers. But within each person, within each church, there is a deeper growth going on. Have a look at Ephesians 4 verse 15. That we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. God is about building and growing a church that grows both individually towards maturity in Christ, that we become more and more like Christ, each of us, but also growing together toward maturity, a body of people whose head is Christ. And so today from Ephesians 4, I simply want us to see what brings that sort of growth and what it actually looks like when a church grows that way. Firstly, what brings the growth? And what grows a church is actually the same thing that brought it into existence in the first place. It's the grace of God shown to us in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the word about that grace. It is that gospel being proclaimed within the church that grows the church. If you look at Ephesians 4 in verses 7 to 10, we have there a reference to Psalm 68 where God is pictured as marching in triumph before his rescued people. It's a picture actually of the Exodus in the Old Testament. And as he marches before them in victory, he is giving them gifts of victory and also gifts to rebuild God's place and God's purposes. Now, what Ephesians 4 does, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, he applies that image to the victory of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conquering king, our rescuer, who gives his rescued people, that is the church, gifts of victory, gifts for rebuilding his place. He gives them all that is needed to grow the church. And it's worth noting, just as we go along, the Apostle Paul loves metaphors. He loves mixed metaphors. And so here's the image I want you to have in your head as you try to think of what growing the church looks like. He uses both the idea of the church as a body and also the church as a house. So I want you to think of a body house or a church body. That thing up there. So whichever of those pictures is most helpful for you, that's what I want you to have in your mind. And so what gifts does our conquering king give this house body or this body house to grow? We're told he gives both a foundational gift to lay the foundation of this building or this growing, and then a gift to keep building on that foundation. And actually, if you look closely, it's actually one gift in two different forms. The gift is the word of truth about Jesus. That's the building material, the word of truth about Jesus Christ. The gospel is what grows or builds a church. At its foundations, have a look at verse 11. Here's the foundational gift. He gives, first of all, the apostles and prophets, whose task it was to lay the foundation of the church by proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus, of which they were eyewitnesses. They laid this foundation. The apostles, appointed eyewitnesses by the risen Jesus himself, appointed to speak this truth, to lay the foundation of the church in Jerusalem and then to the ends of the earth. And then as you look through the book of Acts, you have working with them prophets who would take that word and use it to encourage the church as this foundation was laid. If you want to see that double act in play, I encourage you later to look at a chapter in Acts like Acts 13, where you see the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, who's referred to as a prophet, working as a team to lay this foundation, proclaiming this gospel. These gifts, apostles, prophets, laid the foundation of the church, including this church. Hopefully, as I said, you've got Ephesians 4 in front of you there. There is our foundation, the New Testament, apostolic testimony about Jesus, the word of truth. It is still our foundation. But God is not just building foundations as he builds and grows the church. He's forming a house on those foundations. And so verse 11, he then gives evangelists, pastors, teachers, evangelists who announce the news of this apostolic witness, essentially inviting people to come into this house. As we saw last week, that welcome in comes by this same gospel. And then pastors, teachers, really one and the same. It's two words for one task, who are to keep speaking this word of truth to build up God's church toward maturity. And so if you were to ask me what my role description is, each member on our staff team has a role description, but really, in one sense, my role description and others who teach in this church is one line, that is to continue to build on this foundation with this gospel. Let me illustrate that by quoting from Acts chapter 20, where we have yet another metaphor, this time the metaphor of pastor or shepherd. Now listen to these words from Acts 20, speaking of this job of the pastor teacher. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That's the job. How? Just a few verses on in Acts 20. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. Do you see the building block again? Do you see what we build on the foundation with? It is this same word of grace. And so my job is simply to speak the word of truth in love to you, God's church, to build the house, to grow the body, so that each part of the house, that is each of us, can keep doing the same thing. If you look at verse 15, we too then speak the truth in love to each other, that we may grow in every respect to be the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. If you want to know what will grow our church in the days and years to come, here it is, speaking this foundational word of truth to each other to build the house, to grow the body. And so what does this growth look like as a church builds or as a church grows? Well, what are the signs of growth? Well, there's all sorts of places we could go in the New Testament, but here in Ephesians 4, there's a number of, if you like, signs or markers of growth that appear. For example, one of the dominant ones in this chapter is the idea of a growing church is a united church. It's one church. Now, we spent a fair bit of time thinking about this unity, this being one people together in the last couple of weeks. So I want to focus on a couple of other growth signs that we have here in Ephesians 4. Here they are. A church being grown by God's word is marked by two things: mature living and mature working. Let's look at each of those in turn. You want to see signs of growth in a church, you're going to see it. Have a look at verse 2 and 3. In a church growing in mature living. What does mature living look like? Well, here's four vital signs for such a life in a church. Firstly, a growing church lives humbly. You want to see a church that's growing? It's a humble church. Now, normal growth charts sort of work the other way around, don't they? We usually chart increase in things. As children grow, it's the sort of little markers on the wall in the house to show how much they're growing. Or there's growth in weight, which, unless we're babies, is not celebrated but commiserated. But we usually mark growth by upwards curve. But a church growing, the sort of growth that God is aiming for is inverse. A growing church knows the wisdom of, well, John the Baptist in the Gospels, who says of Jesus, he must increase, we must decrease. That's what a growing church does. It grows more humble as the Lord Jesus grows bigger in our estimation. But here's what's amazing about Jesus, our conquering King, who is the head of this body that he is building. The one who must increase, Jesus, he himself has actually set the path for us for this growth in humility. You remember those wonderful words in Philippians 2. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. As that word of truth is proclaimed, that word of the one who is king and yet humbled himself is proclaimed, that grows a humble church. Imagine walking into this congregation on a Sunday morning and considering everyone's needs before yours. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? But imagine if everyone was doing the same thing. Do you see how profound such growth would be? Do you see how joyful such a community would be? The only way to experience growth in living humbly as a church is to keep building on the gospel of he who has served us humbly. Now, here's the second sign of growth in mature living. A growing church lives gently. Gentleness, the picture behind that word is of a sea at calm. Not just static, it has depth, it might have substantial tides and currents, but the sea is calm because it's been made gentle by this same gospel. The gospel is the ballast of our gentleness. The growth we must pray for in each other and as as a church is gentleness. Now, again, that's odd, isn't it? Imagine that description of us. It sounds weird, doesn't it? Imagine if you overheard someone talking about Wurrunga Anglican Church and they said this, oh, Wurrunga Anglican, that's quite a gentle church. Doesn't sound like much of a compliment, does it? Sounds weak. Sounds ineffective, but it's not. It flows straight from humility. When we realise that the person sitting beside us this morning, or the person that we've never spoken to, or the 50-year veteran of this church, is in the same desperate need before God as we are, for God's gracious mercy towards them in the Lord Jesus, we grow to live gently amongst each other as we see how dependent we both are. Gentleness in a church community will show itself in our willingness to hold back on that quick response, on the damaging blow. It will show itself in holding back on pulling our fellow Christian down when they're not around. Gentleness shows itself in building up, not tearing down. I mean, what a mighty duo these first two signs of growth in a church are, gentleness and humility. And, well, here's the thing. Matthew 11, verse 29 tells us they are the very things that mark Jesus' character. I am gentle and humble in heart. Here's another sign of growth in mature living. A growing church lives patiently. You know, the literal meaning of the word patience is suffer long. Does that sound like something you want to sign up to? Do you want us to live as a church that way? Suffer long? It's not giving up on a person who has let you down yet again. It's not saying I give up. It is patient. It suffers long. And it's a life formed on the foundation of a gospel that declares that God has been patient to us, that his love has not given up on us. A growing church lives patiently. And finally, really the one that wraps them all up, a growing church lives in love, we're told. It's the foundation of these other signs. It's the soil from which they grow. If you look back in Ephesians 3, verse 17, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that's our soil as we grow. There's another metaphor. We're now a plant. May be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. A growing church lives out this kind of maturity. Without humility and gentleness and patience and love growing amongst us, all other growth metrics that we may cite as a church are actually just signs of a church that has lost connection to both its foundation and its head. Now, will you pray for our growth, that we would grow in mature living? And secondly and finally, would you pray for this second marker that I want to highlight, that is not just mature living, but mature working? The gospel foundation and formation of God's community grows a church, not just that grows mature in the way it lives, but mature in the way it works. I mean, what would it look like if the gospel was growing Wurrunga Anglican? Here's what it would look like. It would look like a church that's working. And I don't mean by that kind of functioning, things sort of are aligned. I mean working, serving, busy, active. Not some of us, all of us. And we'll talk more about this when we come back to this series later in September. But as we think about a church that grows, see the purpose of a church growing from our passage. You can see it a couple of times at least in this passage. Have a look at 4 verse 12. The gospel equips us what for? To serve in the work of building. 4:16, growing to maturity looks like a church built up by everyone at work. Everyone playing their part. Do you see the common word in these two verses? Work. Works of service, each part working. A growing church is marked actually by an increasing number of those who form the community working side by side, equipped by the gospel. I wonder if that's your picture of a growing church. I think it challenges some ideas of what church is. Sometimes you could have the picture of church that's what I'm going to call the bus model. Here we are, where there's the church as the bus, the minister driving the bus, the congregation sitting back enjoying the view. There's one view of the church. Or here's another one, the movie or the show model of the church. Church is something we come to. It happens in front of us. It's something we attend. It's a show. It may not be a flashy or very interesting show, But it's something that we attend and observe. It happens before us. But a mature church, a growing church, is a church at work, in service, a body where we're told in this passage every muscle and sinew and joint and bone is working together. And if I can speak candidly, and I say this of our whole church family, not particularly of 8 a.m., candidly but humbly, here in my 13th year of serving as minister of this brilliant church, I think we've still got some growth to do when it comes to this part of maturity. I reckon around, if you go across the cross-section of all our congregations as a church family, around 50% of people are working to serve in our church. My prayer is 100%, because that's the picture here. If I'm to serve this church for another 13 years, that's the kind of church I want to serve in. I'm sure it's the kind of church you want to serve in as well. Will you pray for that? Now, 50% is a guesstimate, but it's around that. And I want to say, if you're not currently working, serving to build this church, it could be for all sorts of reasons. Perhaps you're not sure what work there is to do. Where would I start? Or perhaps no one's ever asked you to serve. Or perhaps you even think, I don't know what I could do. But here's the thing. The picture here in Ephesians 4 is that God doesn't do spare parts in his church. Each part is at work in this picture. The whole point of him gifting the church with the gospel is to prepare us to serve in this way. And so the challenge before us is, are we up for growing up? Are we up for becoming a church where we side by side, each part of us at work in this building project, this growing project? There are actually all sorts of opportunities. As I think about the congregations of our church, I see significant needs, and then in programs during the week, there's all sorts of opportunities. We need people to come alongside and serve with those who are serving. So don't be surprised if I or others come asking. I know you're busy. I know you may not feel you have anything to offer, but that's not how God works. But by the gospel, you are being equipped for this very work of serving side by side with other Christians. Let us be a church that builds each other up in love as each part does its work. And with that in mind, before we sing again, I want to flag 2027 is actually going to be a year of growth. We're thinking about, particularly this year, the welcome part of our mission. Next year, it will be grow. I'm telling you that now because we may as well start growing now. Let's not be too complacent or too conservative or too distracted or too dull to fail to see the excellent vision of growth that God gives us here and the gifts that he has given us to enable that growth. Brothers and sisters, you are one of those gifts. Which sort of church shall we be? A tour bus or a Viking longboat, where everyone has an oar and we are working together. Hear these words again from Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Well, let me pray and then we'll sing together. And I'll pray using these words from Ephesians 3. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.